Everybody love Jesus?
Yes.
I'm not quite sure the people next door could hear that, let alone heaven. Anybody love Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure I was in the right spot. I think Jesus is the neatest deal in the history of the planet. I'm so glad I got to meet him. I grew up in church. I know how to do church as good as anybody. I've slept under more pews when I was little than people should sleep under pews. Our church, our family was in church every time the door was open, which I think was every night. You know, Wednesday night service, Thursday night prayer meeting, Saturday night something else. And I quit going to church at 17 because church was stupid. I know you're not supposed to say that when you're the speaker in church. but can I be honest? Church by itself is stupid. You might substitute boring. You might substitute, why on earth am I here? So I quit going. I never really gave up on the idea of God. Somehow God seemed like he had to fit in the equation somewhere, but church just didn't have a place for me. And after about 5 years of really seeking to say, God, where are you in this whole thing? I really committed my life to the Lord. And after about 23, at the age of 23, that was 30 years ago. Yes, I'm 53 for those of you who are trying to figure that out. I still have a bit of the accountant in me. The thing that changed my life more than any single thing in terms of wanting to pursue God and being willing to come back to church. And by the way, you know, we're not that holy all the time. The reason I picked the church I went to at 23 when I came back to church was because they had a really good fast-pitch softball team, and I'm a good fast-pitch softball player. Holy, eh? You know, God takes you the best you can do, and he works with you. The reason I came back, the reason I committed to the Lord, the reason why I think following Jesus is the single best thing a person can choose to do is because I found out he talks to me, and he wants relationship with me. It wasn't something I bow down to. It wasn't some bunch of rules I have to follow, even if the church did try to tell me that there are more don'ts on the planet than there are do's. Those of you who grew up in a church like Stanley and I did, we know about don'ts. But I started finding out God is a God of do's. And he loves to relate to his kids. And that's why we're here to talk about hearing from God. Because unfortunately, most of the people who show up in church every Sunday do not know how to relate to their God. So we're going to talk about that a bit today. And this week, I have to take a time out. I got to explain these bracelets because everybody's been asking me about these things. We met with the house church leaders last night, and I said, look, I'll just do it once during the meeting, then it'll be done. We all have them on except Mary, who forgot to put hers on when we came over here after her shower. I wasn't going to say that, but since you cued me on it, I'll put that in. Our church is in the middle of trying to learn how to have speech come out of our mouth that's positive. Ephesians 4:20 says, let no unwholesome... I shouldn't walk over there for whatever reason, right? I'll walk on this side. I kind of roam around a little bit unless I have something to sit on, like a stool, which I have to stay there. Ephesians 4:29, this, by the way, is not in any of the notes, or I haven't even really started my teaching yet. This is just kind of getting to know you and letting you get to know us a little bit. It says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. And I got stuck on the second word, let no unwholesome word. I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm not anywhere close to that. God, are you serious? Does no mean no? And I'm looking it up in the Greek. You know what no means in the Greek? No. I mean, it's like there's no wiggle room. There's no march. I thought, how on earth am I going to do that? I mean, the Bible's full of stuff, and here's one verse, and I can't do it. Short time after that, Mary found something on the internet, or she saw it on, I don't know, where did you find out about this? Oh, the Today Show. You know, one of those really holy Christian programs.
American. I'm American.
Hey. If you really have a strong bent towards religion, I'm probably going to really cause you some irritation over the next few days. I apologize in advance. If you really are struggling with it, we can pray for you and get rid of it. But I'm probably going to be a little bit uncomfortable because I've done the religion thing, and it's a drag. Relationship is really awesome. Anyway, so she's watching the Today Show, and this pastor from Iowa or somewhere in the Midwest gets up and he's got this bracelet on. He starts talking about this complaint-free world. And what the idea is, we're going to change how we live and how we speak. And so this is really, really simple. His concept was you make a commitment for 21 consecutive days not to complain, criticize, or gossip. All good things that Christians should be able to do, right? Well, that's the theory anyway. The book says something about that. So we said, yeah, let's do that thing. So we're not going to complain for 21 consecutive days, criticize or gossip. If you do, this is like a little, just kind of a memory thing. So if you do complain, criticize or gossip, you take it off this wrist and put it on this wrist and start over. Does anyone begin to get the idea of how daunting this task is? We started in February. What is this? Are we in June yet or something? My goal is to get this thing off by the end of the year. I may get it off before Jesus comes back. I'm not sure. The longest that I've done going completely complaint-free is 4 consecutive days. I've done it 4 different times, so I'm getting there. I'm a lot different in how I say things, and I'm excited about that. I still haven't got the no unwholesome word down thing yet, but I'm moving towards that. So anyway, that's what this is. Hopefully you won't see me move it too often in front of you. I have done it in front of my church, but anyway. So that's what this is about. One thing about this conference that I just wanted to let you know is tomorrow afternoon, I've got about a 15-minute thing, maybe 20 at max, that I'm going to do a little bit of teaching on. And then we're going to have an opportunity for you guys to ask any kind of questions related to hearing from God and the prophetic that you want to ask. Because I don't know about you, but one of the biggest things that bugged me about church was the guy up in front was always talking, and he'd say something. I go, well, yeah, now how does that work? Or I have a question about that. And they kept talking, never let me have a chance to ask any questions. Did anybody relate to that? There's two people. Let's go get coffee. Words and, you know, if you don't respond to anything, I draw the conclusion that that means I'm not getting through, so I need to talk longer. Not really. I just heard somebody say that once, and I thought it was really funny. And I'm not very funny on my own, so I have to use other people's material. Tomorrow, we're going to have a time where you can ask questions about this because we want to make available the opportunity for you to get questions answered. Because there's a lot of times that we're stuck in an area of growth, and if we can just get one or two questions answered, it'll move us to the next level in our understanding. And I believe there is nothing more primary than knowing how to hear from God and relate to God. Jesus said in John 5:19. You can all quote that, right? Remember, I'm a corporate accountant. I know more about how to account for stock options than anybody has any right to know. John 5:19, Jesus said, I don't do anything except what I see the Father doing. If that was what Jesus required in order to, if that's what Jesus required in order to do the kind of ministry that he does, perhaps we need that too. And if we're going to have that relationship, we're going to have to be able to hear from God and relate with him and interact with him and ask questions of him. God, what are you doing now? What do you mean by that? How does this work? What do you want me to do next? I got this boss at work that's driving me crazy. How do I, as a follower of Jesus, everybody come back to me. He's going to get this figured out okay. It's really going to work. How do I relate to this guy who's making my life miserable? God, I need your input. Because that's what Christian life is really all about, isn't it? Being effective in the marketplace, being effective with your kids. Man, my kid is, I don't know how to relate to him anymore. Now, you know, you guys, of course, are all flawless, you know, teenagers and young people, right? So, you know, your parents don't have any problem with you, but there are some others that do. And so when you're saying, God, what do I do? There's nothing, I believe, more important than relating to God, being able to talk to him and have him talk to you. Everything flows out of relationship. Changed my life. That's why it's one of the talk about, and you can ask these guys, it shows up in virtually every sermon I do somewhere along the line, is relationship with God. I'm going to all of our house churches right now teaching about how to have quality time with God, not just read the Bible for 10 minutes and pray down a list. Figured out that's a little boring too. Okay, I know there's a few of you that are list prayers, but most of the rest of us, you know, we just run out of time after, I can't pray this list anymore. God, do whatever you want. I am so not a list prayer. You know what I mean by list, right? God bless my mother, God bless my father, God bless my wife. You know, I can't do that. Connect with God. So that's what we're going to talk about. As part of that, I just want to take a couple of minutes, and tonight and tomorrow night, the ladies that are with us are going to share a little bit of their testimony. Because one of the things, even though I've told you I'm a corporate accountant, most of the teaching that I'm going to give you guys over this weekend, I developed way before I became a pastor. This isn't pastor teaching, this is an accountant teaching. But you'll still look at me as like, oh, he's the speaker, so he knows how to do that. And so I'm going to have them share a little bit of their journey of how they learned how to hear from God and growing in the prophetic ministry. So Sang's on for tonight, so come and share a little bit about your journey, Sang.
Hi, I'm Sang. It's really great to be back here. I was here 5 years ago with Pastors Rob and Mary, and I love traveling with them, so anytime they invite me to come, I say yes, even when I don't know where we're going. I just say yes. I want to share a little bit about my journey, just a background of where I'm coming from. I actually work full-time in a hospital. I'm a physiotherapist, and so I do treat patients, but also part of my job is as a supervisor, so I do have that administrative part of work. And later on, I'll share a little bit of how God is such a wonderful God and a practical God, and he does speak to me even in my workplace. So it's not just about going to church or having God speak to you at a prayer meeting or intercession, but it's about God speaking into your life in your day-to-day schedule, running routines, that he wants to speak to us all the time. And if we tune into him, we'll hear his voice. A little bit of where I'm coming from. I grew up in the church, and I didn't know the Lord as my personal Savior until I was 16 years of age. And at that moment, I accepted the Lord. He just poured out his Holy Spirit, and I was able to walk into that freedom and power of knowing who he was and who I was in him. And now, over the years, once I was saved, I'd every once in a while get little pictures or little thoughts that were really nice and wonderful. But no one ever formally taught me about hearing from God. So I thought, okay, that's a little thought. It's just something I made up. So you just move on, and you're praying and walking and reading the Word. And the church I was going to at that time was evangelical, Holy Spirit-filled. And we had at that time in the services more corporate prophetic prayer, where more of the elders or senior members of the church would speak out a word from God in the service. And at that time, I was very active in the youth ministry and the young people's group. And we started having a little revival in our areas. And in the services we would have on Friday nights, we'd be getting these urgings and pictures and things like that, where we would speak out what we thought was God's word. But still, no one ever really formally taught me or trained me or instructed me in knowing how to put it together and how to hear and tune into the word of God. So I was very blessed to have Pastors Rob and Mary come into my life. And that was around 9 years ago, is that 10? Approaching 10 years. And the wonderful gift that they were able to provide me and our church was more of a structured teaching and understanding of hearing from God. And the things you hear, which you may dismiss as it's just a thought, oh, that's a nice thing to hear, or that's a nice thought, or that's a nice feeling or picture. What I grew to understand and know is that that's God speaking to you. He's speaking to you through different thoughts. And at times I'd question myself, well, it's got to be me thinking those thoughts about myself or a person. That can't be God. But one of the things I've learned in my journey of hearing is, why wouldn't God say that? Why wouldn't God say nice things to his children? And so as I've grown in the ministry, I've come to understand that's God speaking to me all the time. And if I can tap into that and listen to that and respond to that, that's him sharing his heart. And so I alluded to him, God being a practical God. And you might think, how can he speak to you in your workplace? Well, for me, when I'm treating patients, it's very busy. And sometimes I'll have 3, 4, or 5 people that I'm treating at one time. They're just doing different areas or parts of therapy. And God, when you tune into him, God will still prompt you and speak to you. And at times, you can really get busy. And I know that that's one thing I'm still growing in, is learning to take a pause and to say, God, I want to be open to what you want to say to me in my day. Even in the busyness of my schedule, having to treat my patients and make them feel better, I want to have time to hear from you. And I'll just share one example. I was treating a lady, wonderful lady, had a frozen shoulder, stiff, painful shoulder. And I was treating her. I'd been seeing her for a good month now, and she was getting better. And one day, in the chaos of my day, one day I just felt a prompting in my heart when I spoke to her and I said, how are you doing? And she said, oh, okay. And something prompted me. And now I've learned to know that that prompting isn't just me. It's the Holy Spirit saying, speak to her, talk to her. And I'm having this internal struggle. Well, I've got 3 people. My next patient is here, and I have to do this and this and this. And I just felt, what do I do? Do I respond or do I ignore? And some days I confess that I can ignore the prompting of God. But this day I was open to hearing what God would say. And I say, okay, Lord, I'll spend a few minutes and speak to her. I just felt the Holy Spirit say, talk to her a little bit more of what's troubling her. So at that moment I said, how are you doing? And she said, well, okay. Said, what's wrong? And she shared with me that she's had a history of breast cancer, and she's a breast cancer survivor, and she's in remission, but she was going for her recent checkup, and they found a spot on one of her x-rays, so she had to go back to the doctor, the specialist, to follow up with that. And from what she shared, that caused a lot of anxiety and stress. And what I felt the Holy Spirit say is, why don't you pray for her? I'm thinking, pray for her. And it's not private. We have curtains that draw us from different cubicles. So you can hear everyone's conversation. So it's not as if I'm out there preaching in the middle of a gym with patients doing their exercises. The Lord saith to you. It's not like that. I thought, okay, how am I going to share this with someone who's not necessarily a believer? And Lord said, just talk to her. And said, you know what, you're carrying a lot of stress on your shoulders. And that's all I did, my eyes open. I just shared a little bit of God's heart. Say, you know what, God's with you right now. And I just sense that you're carrying all the stresses of your worries here and your family, taking care of your husband and kids. And she started to cry at that moment. And she said, yes, I am. And I said, how about if I pray for you? And I just did a simple 10-second prayer. You know, God's going to be with you at this time. It's not easy, but he doesn't want you to carry such a heavy workload. And he's going to be with you. And that was it. And she said, thank you. And she hugged me. And we finished our treatment. I said goodbye. And a couple of days later, when she came back for her next appointment, I just asked her, how are you doing? And she said, thanks for praying for me the other day, because it really made my day better. It didn't change the fact that she was going to see the doctor or her test results. But at that moment, she needed to know that God was there and that she wasn't walking alone. And when things like that happen, when I make the time to pause and hear God's voice to prompt me, and it doesn't have to be this big holy thing, it's just having people connect and relate that they're not alone, that God isn't this big God in the heavens that just points his finger to punish you, but he's someone that can relate to you and care. That really showed me that we're all important to him, and he wants to make the time to speak to us. So I know God can be really practical in your day-to-day life, and it can help you not only to relate to people, but also to speak to your heart and help you to listen and tap into his heart. So I really want to encourage you during this conference. I hope you come away with knowing that God wants to connect with each of you, and he wants to have that personal connection because he speaks to us all the time. It's not just about special occasions or revivals or with some special person coming to pray over you. It's something we can do every day and be practical in our own lives. Thank you.
Amen. You want to get in her line tonight when you're receiving prayer. Seriously, probably work better for you. You know, I should probably pray. You're supposed to pray when you do these things, right? Can you tell why I married her now? Thank you, God, because you're just awesome. Well, you'd even like show up in a hospital, in a therapy room, to bless somebody who's just in a lot of pain. That's really neat. God, I thank you you're going to show up here too. That you're going to encourage your people to say, wow, let's hang out a little more often. Let's talk a little bit more. So thanks for taking care of tonight, blessing tonight. Amen. Yay, God. I just love God. I don't know why the church made him so unfriendly. He's just, you know, God is in a good mood. And he loves his kids. I'm going to talk a little bit about prophecy over the weekend, but I want to share with you the reason I talk about prophecy and we teach about prophecy is not actually so much about prophecy, is to help people hear from God. If you've tried to have quiet time and maybe you've slowed down a little bit during the quiet time and not read through, you know, your five Psalms and your one proverb and your one chapter in the New Testament and ripped off your prayer list real quick and actually slowed down for a little while, you might have had a thought about, you know, I'm really proud of you. You did a good job today. I think you're awesome. And most of us dismiss that. No, I'm making that one up. That couldn't be God. You'd never say that about me. It's very difficult for us to hear something positive from most anyone, but it's particularly difficult for us to hear something really positive from God about us when we're doing the hearing. And so what we've done and found that helps people is we teach about prophecy and begin to help people to hear really nice things from God for other people so that in your own quiet time, you can begin to believe that what you're hearing from your Heavenly Father who loves you is actually from him. You're not making it up. And so that's why we tend to teach that. So those of you, most of you, I assume, are attend Solomon's Porch, or that's why you're here, right? Especially in your small groups where you've got an opportunity to do that. If you're not a part of a small group, a little commercial, Mary and I have led small groups for decades. I believe it's the heart and soul of the church. That's where you connect. That's where you grow. If you're not in one, get in one. Sam didn't tell me to say that. I just really believe that. You actually have to be in a small group to be a member of our church. That's how important a value it is for us. Practice this thing. Begin to get used to hearing what it's like, how good God wants to, our good God wants to communicate good things to people. So that's why we're talking about prophecy. But the end goal actually is kind of like a back door to get you to be able to hear good things from God for you. Okay? We hear from a living God. Matthew 22, verses 31 and 32. I need to put some of these verses in here because it's important. Jesus is talking here, and these religious people were coming, and they were kind of skeptical about what's going on. He gets to verse 31. I'm reading out of the New International Version, not necessarily because I think that's the know-all, end-all, be-all version. It just happens to be what Acts was using, Matthew 22, verse 31. That's what Acts was using when I got there, so I adapted it. A lot of the verses I quote off the top of my head are not necessarily out of the NIV. I memorized them in other versions I was using earlier. So anyway, they're passing out Bibles. What a holy church. They pass out Bibles here. I'm so excited about this. I just love being here. Most of you are there, and if not, write it down. You can find it out later. I'm not quite sure why this is so funny. Did I get all the stuff out of my teeth from dinner? Maybe that was it, right? A green thing hanging out of my teeth. Matthew 22, 31. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. We serve a living God. Amen? I've been in Malaysia to the Batu Caves. We've all heard of that, of course. No, probably nobody's heard of it. But if you're Hindu and you live in Southeast Asia, you have heard of the Batu Caves. It is the largest pilgrimage place for Hindus outside of India. These caves, and you can go into this place, and I was there one time and had the opportunity. I think it was the opportunity. It really wasn't the opportunity. God directed me to go there because he wanted to show me a few things. And one of the things he showed me was you go into these caves, they're natural caves, and there's something like along the order of approximately 2,000 idols in this cave. You know, and Hindus, if you're kind of impartial to your God, it's a good religion because there's always plenty more to pick from if you get upset with the current one. You know, they got several million of them, and it's kind of handy if you don't like the current one. You know, in Christianity, you kind of either take what you get or, you know, you're out of luck. So we go in there, and it's the idea that here's all these gods, and people are coming in and worshiping them and bowing down to them and leaving all kinds of stuff for them, and it was just amazing the passion that people had. You know, they've pilgrimed from a long way away. Some of them, this one guy we were walking by, and he'd been crawling for the last 6 miles to get there to appease his God. Breaks my heart. In this place, the stuff that they put on their forehead, you know what it's made out of? Cow dung. You know Satan's got to just be laughing. Look what I got him to do. These people made in the image of God put cow dung on their head because it's going to get them closer to their God. We serve a living God. And we're made in his image. And I've been around most of you, and you love to talk. And if you're made in somebody's image, guess what the original does? Loves to talk. Really, really. Have you read this book? How many times does it say, "And God said" in here? I mean, the guy is talking all the time. So how did we ever get to the place where maybe if we're lucky, we get to hear God every once in a while, we think it might be him, and we get it quadruple confirmed, hoping that maybe we've heard from a living God who just doesn't know how to stop talking to his kids? I got good news for you. He's talking. Unfortunately, most of us, especially those of us who grew up in church, they never told us how to do that. They never told us he was talking to us, and they certainly didn't tell us how we could connect with him. We serve a living God. I think that's just awesome. So exciting. I'm going to talk, I think, tomorrow night. You know, I really don't always know what I'm going to talk about most of the time, but you know, I have a general idea of where I think I'm going, unless God interrupts. Can I go somewhere else if God interrupts?
Yeah.
I think I'm actually starting teaching, by the way. So according to my notes, the Matthew 22 verse starts this thing. Tomorrow night, I'm going to talk about the four revelatory gifts, or how God reveals and communicates with us. I'm going to talk about that. So I'll talk about prophecy a little bit more in detail. But I need to talk about it for just a minute tonight. When did I start? I started about 20 after. Well, after we got done talking and sang, talked, and everything else, that was just all intro. You know, because Pastor Sam was so concise, I thought we should take a little bit longer, and it helps you get to know me a little bit. So I started about 20 after. I'm not a skilled speaker by any stretch of the imagination, so I can't go an hour and a half or 2 hours, so don't worry about that. I want to talk just real briefly just about prophecy and get a definition. So, how many people have been going to church for longer than 2 years? Okay, you're all church people, right? So you all know the answer to this. What is prophecy? Once you get in groups of two or three, take about 30 seconds, figure out what prophecy is. Do it right now. Just turn around, get with two or three people. What do you think prophecy is? Right now. I'm so tired. Who invented jet lag? Whoever invented jet lag should go straight to hell. Do not pass go, do not collect it. Yeah, sister. Okay. Y'all have been in church for a long time, so how many of you think if we got each one of the groups to stand up, we'd get the same definition from everybody? I'm thinking probably not, right? And that's a little bit of our challenges because we've got lots of different issues related to that. We don't know what it means. A couple things prophecy is not. Prophecy is not inspired preaching. I love inspired preaching. With God's mercy, you'll get a little of it on Sunday. If not, you'll get me talking, and that's not nearly as much fun, but hopefully there'll be some of God in that. It's not inspired preaching. I've heard that. The church I went to that had the really good fast-pitch softball team, that's what prophecy was in their church, was inspired preaching. But that's not what it is. There's preaching, and that's really good, and I love that. But that's not what prophecy is. Prophecy is not witnessing. That's also the church with the really good fast-pitch softball team said. It might be that, too. Because they were kind of uncomfortable with some of the other things that prophecy might be, so they called it with that. Now, we need to witness, amen? Go into all the world and... Are you saved here? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Witnessing is something we're supposed to do, amen? It doesn't mean beat somebody over the head with tracts till they come to Jesus. It doesn't mean, I have good news for you, you're going to hell and I'm not, but it is going out and let our light shining in such a way that people see God in us and say, I want to be like you. God has called us to do that, and we need that, but that's not prophecy either. Prophecy is not fortune-telling. Now, we live in an occultic, aware world. You live in a continent that's very open to the realm of the spirit. I like coming to Asia. In North America, most of the time we have to convince people that there is a realm of the spirit. It gets old. In most places in the world, you don't have to convince them that there's a realm of the spirit. You have to convince them that your God that you're talking about is stronger than the one that's waiting for them when they go home. Fortune-telling is something Satan used to copy what prophecy is. How do you tell the difference? What's the source and what's the outcome? Prophecy always brings the encouragement of God to further the purposes of the kingdom. Prophecy, if taught correctly, and it's not always taught correctly, but if taught correctly, leads a person to deeper relationship with God. With fortune-telling, it's all about the person giving it that has power over the people who are trying to receive it. You have to come to me in order to get access to the realm of the Spirit. And I understand that people can do that with prophecy. People have messed it up. That's why a lot of churches threw it out, because it was just too messy. But done biblically, it leads people to Jesus. Fortune-telling is people's attempts to control what's going on in the realm of the Spirit. Prophecy is opening up the realm of the Spirit and God to people. Sometimes they look alike. That's true. Satan's not stupid. He's not going to make something that's fake that's completely different from the original. It will look similar sometimes. Do people who engage in fortune-telling interact with the realm of the Spirit? Absolutely. I mean, there's fakes in that too. But there are genuine people who are able to tap into the realm of the Spirit. We're all spirit, right? We're just temporarily living in a body till we check out of it, and we're still going to be spirit. So prophecy is not fortune-telling. That's real brief. I have to keep it brief because I got some other stuff I want to talk about. What is prophecy? Well, I can give you a formal definition, but you can buy a book on that. You know what prophecy really is? It's sharing nice things from Papa's heart to his kids. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's Dad saying nice things to his kids. That would have been an appropriate place for a yeah. God is not going to beat you up with prophecy. Really. If we're getting something where God says you need to read the word more and he really wants you to, that's not God. Nice things from Dad. Exhortation. Come on, you can do it. And I'm going to help you do it. Edification. I'm proud of you, son. Way to go. I saw how you didn't give in to that temptation, and that was so good. Comfort. I'm going to be with you. I know it's a tough time right now, but nothing can separate you from my love. Good news from Dad. That's what prophecy is. Yeah, you can get other definitions, but you know the functional one that you take to work with you, good news from Dad. Okay? I'm not sure why I'm starting here, because it seems like a funny place, but I just felt like to go there. When you're talking about hearing from God or prophecy, and we get lots of questions. During the question time, you can ask whatever question you want. There's a really good chance we've already heard it. I don't think you're going to surprise us. But of all the questions we get, there's one question we get that's more common than any other. What do you suppose that might be? How do you know it's God? When I'm getting something, how do you know? I'm going to answer that for you tonight. Are you so excited about this? I'm going to give you the answer to that. He's going, yes, finally, I've been wondering about this. A little happy dance. You ready?
Yes.
Got your pens ready? If you ask me, how do you know it's God? My answer is, you don't. But the short answer is you don't, because see, in Christendom, we want to have a five-step method for everything. Five-step method to getting your prayers answered. Four-step method to walking in more holiness. You know what's wrong with methods? It excludes God from the process. Because see, once we get a pattern set down, and if I follow these four things to do, and I get a guaranteed result, why do I need God? See, there's a one-step method to hear from God. God, what are you saying? Sorry. This isn't deep. Remember, except you become like a child, you won't even see the kingdom. This is not complicated stuff. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. I can tell some people are already going, yeah, what's the catch? I'm not quite sure about this. How do you know it's God? You don't. But I have a question for you. And this can change your whole paradigm if you get this. By the way, those of you from Solomon's Porch who have been here for a while, you're leading small groups and stuff, think about this now in the context not for you, but for how can you equip the people in your small group? Because, see, there's way too many of us to do, like, classes and stuff here. You guys got to do it. This is, you know, this conference is just to get people interested. How do you know it's God? You don't. But my question for you is, when you get that impression or whatever you're going to define it as, and you go, how do I know it's God? My question for you would be, why wouldn't it be God? Why wouldn't Dad talk to his kids? See, we spend in church so much time being skeptical of everything spiritual that we talk ourselves out of virtually everything that could possibly happen. Oh, it probably isn't God because I really had a bad day today, and oh man, I swore at the guy in the car in front of me, and well, I shouldn't have done that, and I haven't had quiet time in about a week, and this couldn't possibly be God, and besides, it's too nice, and I'm just really not, you know, doing very well. We talk ourselves out of Dad talking to us. God probably didn't want to talk to me because I'm really not worth much anyway, and I'm not doing much as a Christian anyway. You know, if natural parents interacted and treated their kids the way we'd say that God interacts with us, God should be arrested for child abuse. He only talks to me once every 6 months. What parent would be appropriate to talk to their kids once every 6 months? Kid goes, oh, thank you. You said something to me. And yet we ascribe that to God as being normative behavior. Oh, it probably wasn't God. It was really nice. What kind of a parent would you be if all you did was just thrash your kid verbally? You read that in any of the parenting books? No. You're like, be nice. What a concept. Be nice. And yet we somehow think God is like that. God's in a good mood and he loves his kids. I told you, I'm not really deep. But have you read this book about how much God loves his people? Pick our favorite witnessing verse, John 3:16. God loves the world. He loves it so much, he said, I know you're going to come along in 2,000 years, and I'm going to have Jesus die for you, even though it's going to take you 2,000 years to get here. I've been a dad. I ain't that good of a dad. Why wouldn't this thought, impression, feeling, why wouldn't it be God? You just said, God, what's on your mind? Why wouldn't the next thought be God? What if we spent just half the amount of energy we use trying to be skeptical of everything we hear to believe in Dad's nice, and it probably is something he's trying to say to me? See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's biblical, by the way. Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible. See, you're not going to get a guarantee. And what everybody's going, yeah, tell me how you know. You wanted a guarantee. I want a five-step method that will ensure that when I sit down, I will hear from God accurately every time. There is no guarantee. I've heard it said that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. But the verse doesn't end there. It says, without faith, it is impossible. Faith has to be an equation. I think that's what I'm going to talk about Sunday, is how faith and hearing from God interact. But he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, as you begin to come to your heavenly Father and you say, God, I know this is a relationship thing. How many people are married here? How many people are married and afraid to raise your hand? I mean, you know, you can get counseling after that. There's some awesome people here. You know. How many people are married? It's like it took a while for everybody to get their hand up. It's like, okay, I think I might be. Look, you're either married or you're not. You're either proud of it or not. Somebody knows if you're not holding your hand up, they're going to tell your wife or your husband, okay? Have you noticed that if you don't, when you were courting or being courted, you were pursued? Somebody just walk up to you and go, hey, babe, want to get married? I can be funny. There was a pursuing and a drawing towards. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As you come into pursuit of relationship, he's not going to say, and if you're lucky and really holy, every third Thursday of the fourth month and the seventh month and the tenth month of the year, you're going to get something. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He says, when you seek me, you're going to find me. I know, we're still going, okay, there's a catch. This is just too easy. Why wouldn't it be God? John 10:3-6. You can read the whole passage of John 10 through about the 12th or 13th verse. My sheep know my voice. All the little sheep said, you are designed with a God-given awareness that your heavenly Father is speaking to you. In all the noise and the clutter in the world, have you ever seen like big herds of sheep move around and all the sheep dogs and everything like that? In the middle of all of that, each sheep hears the voice of its master. And he can say, okay, we're going here. And out of all these sheep and all these things, they will follow the right one. And you came equipped with a God ear to hear your shepherd. Isn't that cool? Now, most of you maybe haven't used it very much because you didn't know you had it or you didn't know you could, but you came equipped to hear the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. And Jesus said that. You know, Jesus doesn't lie, right? He said that. Isn't that exciting? You know his voice. You may not have been taught to recognize it. You may have been taught to say he's not talking anymore. But biblically, God says, you know my voice. And he doesn't just say to the sheep once every 6 months, next pasture, see you. You know, he's right there with them all the time because there's all kinds of stuff going on that they need to have this ongoing dialogue. My sheep know my voice. Job 33:14, you'll love this one. Everybody reads through Job often, right? Actually, one of the few times I read through Job all the way in like a couple of days was in a philosophy class I had in university where they said this was part of philosophy and I had to read the thing like in 2 days for the assignment. That's tough plowing. Can I say that about the Bible? I hope so, because it's hard to read. I mean, these guys are having all these philosophical arguments about who sinned and caused all the problems and all that kind of stuff, and God shows up at the end and goes, excuse me, guys, you missed the whole point. But it's hard reading. But in the middle of that, in chapter 33 of Job, verse 14, there's this remarkable, I guess I should turn there so I can read it. Nehemiah, Esther, Job. page 469 in my Bible, if you're having a hard time finding it. 33:14. What does it say? God does speak. Whew. Now one way and now another. He talks a whole bunch of different ways. He doesn't just talk one way. That's another reason, by the way, you can't get a guarantee, because he's not going to talk the same way every time. But look at the second part of this verse. Though man may not perceive it. See, we've all been taught, or many of us have been taught, that, oh, well, God's not answering now. You can't find, hello? You can't find a place biblically where it says God ceases to be close to you to hear you. People say, oh, I'm in a desert time. Well, you may be, but God's right there with you, and he's talking. I believe it is non-biblical to say, I am in a desert place, and that's why I have not heard from Dad in a year. You may be in a desert place for a year, but Dad's right there with you. Remember the one in Psalm 23, even though they walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will be far away from you and never talk to you. Please laugh at that. That's not how the verse ends. And yet we live like that way too often. And I want to encourage you, why wouldn't it be God who's talking to his kids because he's a good dad? A God who's always speaking and we're not perceiving it. See, when the breakdown happens in relationship, the problem is down here, not up there. Like, say the magic word, you get your word. He's not playing games with us. Here's a dad who loves us, wants to talk to us all the time about the stuff that's going on. You know, we got a God that loves to take walks. You've read Genesis 3, right? You've read the Bible. The Bible, Genesis, first book. You've read Genesis 3, right? What's God doing? First time he shows up with people, going for a walk. Every day he comes down and says, hey, let's hang out. Let's be together. Place I love to connect with God, Starbucks. Hey, God invented it. It's okay. You can drink coffee. Now that I moved to Canada, it's Tim Hortons, but it's the same thing. You're from... No, that's cool. You're from Canada? Okay. Sister. Double-double, eh? Did you notice I slid that A in there really cool? He loves to go for walks, but that's a picture of how he wants to connect with us on an ongoing relational way. Enoch had so much fun walking with him, God says, hey, why don't you just come home with me tonight? Read the story of Enoch. There's only five places he shows up in the whole Bible. He likes to do that because he wants to connect with us. Why wouldn't it be when you sit down at your workplace and somebody opposite you in your workplace says, I'm having a bad day. You say, God, what should I do? Why wouldn't the next thought be, or impression be, God? Now, some of you great biblical scholars say, well, you know, sometimes it isn't. And that's true. So we have to test it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, you don't have to write this down. It's short anyway. It says, test everything and hold on to the things that are good. What the church has in general done with the Holy Spirit broadly and with prophecy and hearing from God specifically is test everything, and as soon as there's a mistake, throw it out. I grew up in a church like that. I didn't actually grow up in a church like that. They did test everything and then do everything. And if it's God, some of it's got to be God. But then the next church I went to was test everything, and if it didn't work, then throw it all out. Test everything, keep the things that are good. Now, how do we test it? Please don't make this hard. Remember, except I become like a child, I won't even see the kingdom. We make this way too hard. How do we test it? First of all, Jesus is the exact representation of God. Amen? You've read Hebrews, right? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was the exact representation of it. If you're ever having theological problems, look at the life of Jesus. There's where your answer starts. Somebody, I don't remember who said it. Somebody said, Jesus Christ is perfect theology. If you're not sure what to believe, see what Jesus did and do that. So, is what you're hearing sound like something Jesus would say? I know that's not real deep theology, or maybe it is. Is what I'm hearing something that Jesus would say? So one of the things about becoming more familiar with how to hear from God is read the Gospels a lot, especially the stuff in red. Because that's Jesus talking. He's not ever going to give you something that's contrary to what God might be saying. So how do you test it? Does it sound like Jesus? Does it sound like the character of God? Well, how do you know the character of God? Look at Jesus. See step one. But throughout the Bible, the character of God is revealed. So if you're going to hear from God and have a better way to test it, you're going to need to know this book, because God won't ever speak currently to you in something that's contrary to his eternal word. But have you noticed there's a few things that seem to contrast with each other in this book? So we've even got to go to say, God, what are you saying right now? Which of this piece of the word is applicable to be right to me right now? I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, I think. Does it sound like Jesus? Is it like God's character? Does it contradict the word? Well, do you know the word enough to know if what you heard was actually contradictory? Might help to study this book a little bit in developing your relationship with God. If you're still not sure, does it sound like 1 Corinthians 14:3? Exhortation, edification, and comfort. Nice words from Dad. See, because when God wants to correct us, he doesn't come up and just start wailing on us verbally. God does not verbally abuse his kids. Come on. God doesn't verbally abuse his kids. Even when he says, we're doing something really wrong, and I've had a lot of experience at doing stuff wrong and having God talk to me, I know about this. He comes to me in a way that says, Rob, this really isn't going to help you very much. Let's work together on this. I got a better idea. And not only that, I have enough grace to help you make that change. See, God doesn't ever just say, you got to get more holy. You got to get better, or you're out. He didn't say that. That was an example. He's not saying that, right? He said, come on, son. Let's talk about this. What's hurting inside that caused that behavior in the first place? You know, I can heal it. Where are you weak that makes it hard to do this? I can help you with that. I can make you strong in that. And let me talk to you a little bit about the plan I have for your life and how if you start walking with me a little bit more, it's going to unfold that even more. That's how God corrects. Jesus Christ is perfect theology. You know the only time that Jesus ever got mad? Religious people. I just threw that in for free. How do you test this stuff? Sound like Jesus? Is it God's character? Does it contradict the word? Is it nice stuff from Dad? Why wouldn't it be God? Can you make a mistake with this? Absolutely. Can you make a mistake by assuming everything's not God? Absolutely. What if we just tried a little bit more to believe that maybe our loving Heavenly Father wants to talk to us just a little bit more than what we've thought he did? How do you know it's God? Because Dad loves his kids, and he's always talking. I haven't got any more on that. That's about it. That's about it. How's God talk to us? Well, that's kind of a challenge too. Unless, of course, you believe that, except you become like a child, you won't even see the kingdom. In the next couple of minutes, I want to talk about, I don't know, how much time have I got? I don't have that much time. I'm going to talk about a couple ways. I'll talk about a couple of more predominant ways that God speaks. And God willing, I'll give you an example of them. Right? Always works better in live. Why was that funny? Don't you ever pray like that? My favorite prayer is one that David uses in Psalm several times. Help God. That prayer is almost always sincere. Have you noticed that? I mean, you could get really holy and go, oh, great and mighty Father, I'm here to connect with you now, and whithersoever thou goest, I'est willest, be'est with youeth. You know, or something. But when it ain't going good, you go, help God. And he goes, now we're getting to the real stuff. How does God speak? We're spirit. So the most common way that God speaks to us is through our spirit. And you go, how does that help me? And probably it doesn't help you at all. What will help you, though, is the way that we process when God speaks to our spirit is through our thoughts. That's how we interpret feelings or emotions or anointings or unctions or whatever kind of thing you want to describe of how God communicates to your spirit. We interpret it through our thoughts. Renew your spirit, right? Romans 12, 2? No, it doesn't say that. Please don't agree with that. Renew your mind. Start thinking like a kingdom person rather than someone who's still living under the world system, because this is where we filter the stuff that we get. It could be a feeling, could be an emotion. I don't really understand that a lot, but my wife really gets, she's such a demure and quiet woman. You've noticed that, right? In our wedding vows, I said that she was the exclamation point at the end of my sentence. Because I'm pretty boring without her, and she just makes everything go better. Serious. I'm running out of time where I tell stories about me being boring. Sang's laughing because she's heard them all before, and she goes, yep, that's pretty boring. So look, we know his voice. How do we begin to discern which thoughts are his? It's like a telephone call. Most of you I don't know at all. If I called you up on the telephone, you wouldn't know who I was. I call Sang up at work. She knows who I am right away because we've talked a lot, and she recognizes my voice. The more we dial up God, the more we're going to recognize, that's Dad. We know his voice as we know his character, as we spend more time with him. It's a good reason to go for coffee, right? To spend some time with God. I've had some of my most connected times in the holy tabernacle of Starbucks. I'm bordering on sacrilege, aren't I? Either to Starbucks or church, and I'm not sure which. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's just that simple. It's not some holy kind of thing you got to be on your knees for 3.5 hours. It's not something where if you had a bad day, you can't hear any less. It's just Papa talking to his kids. And we process it most frequently through our thoughts. God, what do we do? What do I do right now? Why wouldn't the next thought be Dad? I hurt right now. Why wouldn't the next thought be Dad comforting you? That's what any earthly father would do. I'm not much one for feelings, so I'm not really sure. I'm very left-brained. I was a great accountant. Nobody can understand how an accountant who's so left-brained as I am could be prophetic at the same time. Because even left-brained accountants have dads that love them. I'm kind of stalling for time because there's a weight that's been in the room for about the last 3 or 4 minutes. The presence of the Lord is here, and I think he's speaking to people's hearts right now that says, yeah, this is the real deal. This is what you've been looking for. I'm not a God that's far away. I'm a God that's close. I am accessible to you. I'm not somebody that's way, way far away. You can get me. You can get me. You can get me. You can get me. I'm just kind of waiting to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do now. This is not in the notes. Holy Spirit never is in my notes. Just thoughts. Just be still for a minute. You know, y'all came here going, man, I'd like to get a word. I'd like to be the one in line. Right now, ask Dad, what do you want to say? Some of you are going to get something right now. Why wouldn't it be God? Just take a minute. By now, a number of you have already had a thought come in your mind. Why wouldn't that be God? A number of you have also talked yourself out of it and go, no, that was too easy. Go back and get it again. Why wouldn't it be Dad? See, if we're following God, we're not going to be in too much of a hurry. I know we got the clock, and I'm aware of the clock. Now respond. Respond to what he said. Ask him another question. Tell him thanks. Whatever an appropriate response is. You're not less holy if you can't feel it in the room now. And I'm not much of a feeler. I'm more like, I just kind of know. I kind of got this thought. But some of you are feeling it. You can feel a weightiness, which is what glory means. It means weight of God here. And that's why we're waiting for him to just chat with his kids a little bit. If you're not getting anything or you're not really confident of what it is, that's okay. Just hang in for just a minute. But there are some people who are connecting right now, so let's honor that for just a minute more. Yeah, you can write it down and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, this isn't, you know, don't go getting like weird religious on me. This is Dad talking to his kids. Now, what you're doing right now, you can take it home with you. You can use it all the time. You can use it in the car, except don't close your eyes. It's not less holy, by the way, to pray with your eyes closed. It's recommended in driving. Keep your eyes open. I used to have a minimum 2.5 hour commute every day when I was lived in Los Angeles. I can promise you I didn't close my eyes when I was doing my QTs in the car going like an eighth of a mile an hour. How many people feel like maybe you did hear something from God? We're not talking about, you know, making an absolute guarantee, but how many people think, yeah, I think I heard something from God. I think he said something to me. Well, who would have thought? Dad loves his kids. Now, you all got your word, so, you know, you can go home. No, you can get in line, too. That's okay. How does God speak? The most common way is, that was just an emotional break, because it felt like it was just changing a little bit. We're getting all really serious. So, most common way is through your thoughts, honestly, and you begin to discern, is this God, is it not God? I'm going to talk about gift of discernment, I think, tomorrow night. But that's the most common way. How's another way that God speaks? Another way is through the Bible. We all know that, right? But how do most of us in our practical Christian life hear from God through the Bible? Especially when we're in trouble. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, I really need to know what to do. Can you please tell me what to do? God. Oh, come on, haven't we all done the closing point method? Please tell me something, because I'm dying here, God. If you haven't, you're way better than I am. You guys need to be up here doing that, because I've sure done that. And most of us have, because you're laughing, because you go, yep, I've been there doing that too. You know what the problem with that is? You open a point and you get something like, and Judas went out and hanged himself. How many of you know if you're dealing with depression, that is not a good verse you want to open to? Financial problems. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor. What do you mean I am the poor? How can I sell it and give it to me? I don't have anything to give. You see why we might have a problem with that, and yet a lot of us deal with it that way. Okay, God, my read through the Bible in a year thing says I'm in, Ezekiel 14. You ever read Ezekiel 14? I'm a child of the late 60s, early 70s. If I hadn't found Jesus, I would swear that Ezekiel was on drugs. Man, that is some of the most far-out stuff I've ever read in my life. Six wings, wheels going different directions, eyes on the wings. What is this all about? You don't need it. You go, God, I'm really having trouble with my kids today. This ain't working. Six wings going different ways. Thank you so much. This is helpful. Why do they cover their feet? I don't know. I didn't even know they had feet. Are they claws? Are they birds? I don't know, but this isn't working for me. Don't you ever think that when you read some of this stuff? I do. What are you doing? What are you saying? I'm so lost. I ask God questions all the time. I got cabinetfuls of questions I haven't got answered yet. But I'm still working on it, and God helps me with it. How do we hear God in the context of this word? I should honor Tim Hortons, right? I want to show you how to interact with God through the word. What's one of your favorite verses? What's something God been saying to you recently? Have you read this book recently? Okay. What's your name, since I'm being... Rebecca. This is going to be good, by the way. It is going to be good. Okay, do you know where that is? Can you give me a verse that you know where the reference is so we can all look and follow along? Because this is kind of like a teaching and a demonstration. This isn't it,
We were reading it the other day in class.
If this isn't it, I'm just going to have to pick one of your favorite verses for you, and it will be your new favorite verse. Can't find it, huh? Okay, God, what verse should I give her? Okay, turn to Jeremiah 33:3. It's one of my favorite verses, and I feel like God wants to encourage you with it. But what I'm doing now is I'm going to give you a little bit of a demonstration of how God speaks to us personally through the Word. This is God's eternal Word, right? All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for, right? This is God's eternal Word, right? How do I know which one to apply in my own life? I don't want the Judas went out and hanged himself verse. That's not good news. How do I know how to apply it? I guess I should turn there because I actually have it memorized in two versions, but I don't think it's either one of them is a new NIV. What did I say, Jeremiah? Keep me focused, please. Come on, God. Your name again? Rebecca. See, I'm talking to God and I'm trying to listen to you, and you know guys can only do one thing at a time, right? We're like one track. I'm thinking of this. And that's pretty much it. So what is your name again? Rebecca. Now, you laugh, but what's happening is I'm going, okay, God, what's your word? And that's what I'm doing now, and that's why I'm forgetting who Rebecca is. I'm really sorry. I'm a guy. What can I say? So if I you know, if you're sitting there reading it, it says, and you read, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. You blessed? That's not too bad, huh? But what if you were reading it and you got this? Rebecca, today's your day. Because I got some stuff for you you haven't even dreamed of. But I wrote it about you before you were ever born, this plan I have for you. And it's your day to hear some more of the plan. It's bigger than what you ever thought could be. Because I love you so much. Papa loves his daughter. And you haven't seen it so far. But I want to show it to you now. Now, which did you like better? That make any sense to you? Be applicable in your life? She's either really faking it or, you know, she's really good at crying on her own. Why did the second one have impact? Because it was God's word right now about what he wants to communicate. He's saying, I want to take this thing and make it personal now. And that's how God talks through the word. It isn't just reading a bunch of stuff going, you know, wings and eyes, or, you know, other kind of stuff. It's saying, here's where I'm at right now. You can still, by the way, get in line and get a word too. This was just extra for, you know, being so willing to drink Tim Hortons. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like, God, what do you want to say to me right now out of this verse? It isn't like, okay, I'm reading this holy scripture and, you know, it's way up there somewhere. It's Papa making his eternal word personal and relevant now. That's how you hear from God out of the word. Okay, I got to be done really quick, so... Vision. What's a vision? Vision's just a mental picture. There's plenty of biblical examples of that. It's all throughout the Bible. I don't have to give you biblical definition of that, right? You've all read about that. But how does it actually work in communication? Sophie, I just saw you move. Do you have about 2 minutes? Okay. I'm gonna tell you what God's heart is, and then I'm going to tell you the vision I just got for her so you can see how to connect when you get a picture, because most pictures are symbolic, and we don't know what to do with them. You've all been in a group where somebody says, I got this picture of wings and eyes, and you know, it's like, how does that bless me? I don't get it. I'm not blessed. We have to get interpretation for it. We have to get understanding. So what I felt like the encouragement of the Lord was for you, Sophie, is you are a nurturer. People come around you and they feel safe. They feel good. I don't know how many people are in your small group, but they're glad you're leading it. Because you are a woman that really knows how to protect and nurture. And God's even going to take it to another level where you're going to start to mentor in ways you hadn't known. You're going to be surprised about stuff that comes out of your mouth. You're going to help little ones grow up. Does that, I don't really know. Have we ever met? Did I meet you the last time? Okay, well, I don't remember. I'm really sorry. Does that, people who go here, does that sound anything like Sophie? How did I know that? What happened? The picture I got was of a mother chick with a little chick around her arms. That's the picture I got, and you heard what I got out of that. A broad interpretation of it. God speaks to us through pictures, and we say, God, what does that mean? And he starts talking to us about awesome sort of stuff about us. Thank you so much for being willing. Please be released. And you can still get in line too. That's how pictures, visions work. What's going on back there? God can talk to us, but it's still the process through our minds of saying, God, what does this mean? What does this verse mean? What does this picture that you just gave me mean? Because Papa wants to communicate. Remember Jeremiah? Job 33, he speaks first this way, then that way. It comes in different ways. Isn't this cool? And it's just that simple. That was meaningful for you too. You're really, there's something about this line here, and you're really sitting under it. So go ahead and take it. You know, God's got plenty, and it, you know, it works for lots of people. Just one other way, because I need to be done. God speaks in something called riddles or parables or dark speech. You can look that thing up in Numbers chapter 12. It also says visions. Visions and dreams work about the same as each other, except when you're awake and when you're asleep. Dark speech or parables, what is that? It's a common thing that happens in everyday life, except in that particular instance, it has meaning. An example of that would be in 1 Samuel, I probably got this in my notes somewhere. Where am I? 1 Samuel 15. It's the story where Samuel first calls or encounters Saul. If you've read the story, I'll give you the synopsis. Saul's dad, the king, or Saul's dad, the landowner, had lost a whole bunch of sheep or donkeys or something. Donkeys. I don't even know the story. Donkeys? Critters. He lost these critters. It's not important which one it was. You can go look at, somebody looked it up and they said it's donkeys. Okay, we choose, you're so good. It's just so awesome. Get in her line. Honestly, they'll probably give you better words than I could. Anyway, Saul is out there looking for these donkeys because his dad said go look for them. And he's going, well, we need the donkeys. And after all, it's my inheritance and I want to keep on these things. So he's out there looking around for them. Samuel comes up to him. This isn't the right story, is it? That's chapter 9, isn't it? In chapter 15 is the actual story I want. I must be needing to get done. I got a sense, though, I need to tell this because I've already got the example. And the guy who's going to get this, it's going to be meaningful for. Chapter 15 talks about Saul and Samuel. And Samuel had just got a word from the Lord, and Saul is at this sacrifice, and he's supposed to wait for Samuel. Saul, being the king, says, I'm the king. I ought to be able to do this. And so he does the sacrifice without Samuel coming. God says, you know, under law, you just can't do that. Samuel comes to him. Samuel comes to Saul and says, this day the Lord has torn the kingdom from your hand. Torn the kingdom from you. Samuel gives this edict. Saul's going, oh no, I really like this king stuff. And so he turns to go, and Samuel turns to go, and Saul reaches out, grabs the corner of Samuel's robe, and tears it. Now, we tear clothes all the time, right? Okay, maybe you don't. I walk into things, you know, you catch it on the car door and all that kind of stuff, and things tear. He tore the corner of his robe, only this time there was content to it. And Samuel turns around and says to Saul, out of a normal circumstance where the clothing gets torn, and says, this day the Lord has torn the kingdom from you. Everyday occurrence, only this time it had prophetic significance. It had God content to a normal circumstance. Doesn't happen all the time. I've torn my clothes a number of times. I've never gotten a prophetic word out of tearing my clothes. But it did this time. I remember one time, just to give you another example, I remember one time I was praying for, well, I was sort of asked to. I was praying for people, and this woman comes dragging up this teenage daughter with her, about 15. The teenage daughter obviously did not want to be there, didn't want to be with her mom or anything. Truly didn't want to be around this whole thing. Woman comes up and says, my daughter wants prayer. I'm thinking, oh, yeah? I didn't say it. I was being good. You know, I'm the guy praying, and I have to, you know, sound holy and all that kind of stuff, right? Really? Your daughter wants prayer. I said, okay. And I'm going, God, what's going on here? Because this is just kind of different. This kid doesn't want to be here. Mom obviously thinks his child has huge amounts of problems. What's going on? I felt like God said her heart is in pain. I said, okay. And so sometimes we'll have someone lay hands on it. Well, I'm not going to lay my hands on the heart of a female. That's not okay. So I said, Mom, would you just put your hand on your daughter's heart? She comes over to her daughter and goes, boom, like that. I mean, like physically, I wanted to move backwards. And she did a little bit. And right then God says, you see what she did? And I go, yeah, what was that? He says, she's abusing her daughter physically. I go, this is not good. She's the one who wanted me to pray, and she's doing this abuse. And so I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? So I asked the woman that was praying with me, I said, could you take Mom just for a minute and go over there? I want to pray for the daughter, but I want to do it without Mom here. And so then, you know, Mom, you know, like, but I'm the praying guy, so, you know, I'm not big on titles. You notice they tend to call me Rob, and I'm fine with that, because nobody ever called me Accountant Rob. But they call me Pastor Rob, and so, you know, I live with it, okay. But I'm not above using the title when I need it. And since I said, oh, you know, I'm going, you need to go over here, and I'll pray for your daughter. She goes, kind of like, you know, I don't want to do this because, you know. I said, look, honey. I didn't say honey. That was kind of corny, but it was that sensitive sort of thing. I said to her, your heart doesn't hurt as much as your body does, right? She burst into tears. I said, your mom is beating you, isn't she? She goes, all the time. I said, I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to go talk to your counselor at school because this has got to stop. And so I was able to minister to her. Now, the point is, it was, you know, people put their hands and stuff all the time, but this time there was spiritual content, and God said, here's what the issue is. Parables. God can speak to us through parables. So what do I use now? I need to be done. Thoughts. Thoughts is the most common thing. Speaks through the Bible, but not just reading the Bible. It's like, God, bring content to me out of the Bible. By the way, he does speak audibly sometimes, but not a lot. Not, you know, that's your once every, you know, 3 years or something. I've never heard the audible voice of the Lord. I'm not even sure I want to. That's a little uncomfortable for me to think that God wants to do that. But if he wants to, I'm up for it, I think. I mean, I've read the book. I saw what happens when God speaks audibly. They like, fall down and are terrified and all that kind of stuff. And I probably would be, too. Just the bigness of God. Not because he's be mad at me, but the bigness of God. Anyway, he speaks audibly, speaks in visions and dreams. He speaks through parables. Those are the most common ways. If you're aware of the various ways he can speak, and these are the most common, you're going to have a lot more opportunity and likelihood of hearing from him. I tried to give you a couple of examples of the ones that might be a little harder to understand. A couple thoughts on hearing. God isn't hurried. If you want to increase how often you hear from God, slow down. Cancel some appointments. Leave work early. I know you work your tails off here in Hong Kong. It's true of most people in most urban environments, maybe even more, but you got to find some time for God. Marriages don't last if husband and wife never talk. The relationship will not develop with God if you don't have more time. He is not hurried. He will wait. He's been at this job a long time, and he can outwait you. He's also not going to force his relationship on you. You get to pick. So God isn't hurried. God rarely, he will sometimes, but rarely shows up in those desperation prayers. God, my marriage is 2 days from now. Is this the right person? You laugh, I've had that happen to me. I'm going, man, I can't teach you how to hear from God right now. I'm thinking that, you know, then I try to give him some kind of counsel. You know, we build relationships so that in times of counsel, under emotional pressure or opportunity, we can hear. But you do it in that consistent time when there isn't the pressure. God isn't hurried. That'll help you. God speaks most clearly and frequently to to a mind that's quiet. I know, yeah, I want the worship music on. I can do it in the car. No, you can't. You can hear sometimes, but connecting with God consistently, you got to get rid of the distractions. Mary and I communicate when I look her in the eye and go, okay, hon, I'm all here. The phone's off. I don't have an iPod plugged in. I'm not watching the Maple Leafs lose another game, you know, or whatever. I'm right here with you right now. We're going to hear most from God when we're right here, right now. I said I was going to do a live example. I got to come back and do this. Can I do that for a second? We're 25 after 10. Can you give me 5 more minutes? I will be done, even if it's mid-sentence at 10:30. What's your name? Gordon? Okay. Is your mom and dad here? Good. It's going to make it easier for you. No, remember, dad's good. He's in a good mood, got good words for his kids. Gordon. And I'm going to tell you how I got this from a parable kind of dark speech thing. God says, son, I'm proud of you. That your heart has been longing to hear that because you are a good son and you do a lot of things right. And you haven't heard quite as many things about what you're doing right as what you're doing wrong. And there's been a real hurt in your heart that says, but what about what I am doing? And I felt like God wants you to know his heart hurts when you hear those things. Because that's not what he thinks about you. And you try to fly under the radar in a lot of situations because you don't want anybody else yelling at you anymore. I felt like God wants you to know, I've seen what you've done that's right. And Gordon, I'm proud of you. You're a good son. And Gordon, things are going to shift for you. May not change around you, but that word, good son, is going to start to, like a little thing you plant, a little seed you plant that grows, it's going to start happening in you. And you're going to start to understand what it is to be a good son. You would never say that to anybody, but God knows that's a thing in your heart. And he says, Gordon, you're a good son. And I bless you to be that. Okay. I'm proud of you. How did I know that? What did God do in a parable kind of a thing that told me that? I was looking down trying to figure out a little while ago what was going on. Gordon's got this stripe of red on his tennis shoes. And what I felt like God said out of that was, Gordon flies low. He doesn't bring attention to himself, but there's this little red stripe that says, notice me. And I felt like God said, so notice him. Now, everybody else has got red tennis shoes and stripes and stuff too. But for this guy, right now, that was what God wanted to communicate. Parables. Is that okay? You're not going to say no to me anyway, are you? I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, and then I'm done. I'm going to talk about this a lot more tomorrow, but I'm done with this. Be careful of interpretation and application. In hearing, most people don't make mistakes in actually hearing God. Most of the mistakes come in the application or the interpretation. What does it mean when you get the picture of a chick under the arm of her mother? Well, I'm going to lay eggs. No, then maybe not. You know, we can mess those things up all the time. Hey, if you're having a bad day, you might interpret it that way. Most of us do here. Most of us can get things out of it. But timing interpretation of what something means and how do I apply it is where most people make most of the mistakes with their hearing from God. So you just want to keep that in mind as you do that. Get counsel from people. I'm going to talk tomorrow morning a little bit about what you do with the prophetic word before we have our open table. I'm pretty sure I'm going to do that now. A little bit about hearing from God. Why wouldn't it be God? Why wouldn't Papa, this loving Heavenly Father, talk to his kids? God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for these amazing people who are willing to sit here and listen to me for that long. And I ask that in some way your Holy Spirit would do something to encourage them to say, yep, this is for me too. I'm just as good a son and daughter as anyone else, and you can talk to me. And I ask that you would give them courage to say, I'm going to try this. I'm going to seek him because you said, God, if I do, I'm going to find you. Thanks for being such a good dad, such a loving father. Amen. I'm going to give it back to Sam, and I think he's going to give a little directions. For those who need to go, by all means, be released to do that. Thank you again for being so attentive and so patient. You're awesome.
Thank you, Pastor Rob. We're going to go into a time of ministry. And like I mentioned before, we hope to have a time for everyone to receive, but it's not all going to happen in one night. So we thought what we would do is have the first group. For those of you who are house church members of Solomon's Porch, and tonight is the only night that you can attend, we're going to ask you to go ahead and stand up and come forward, and the team is going to have a time of ministry. They're each going to have tape recorders. If you have an SD card, which some of you got the announcement, then you'll be going to Pastor Rob. The rest of you, if you don't have an SD card, the other three have MP3 recorders, and we want to make available to you the prayers that they pray over you. Okay. So you want to take the first two rows? Okay. Okay, so go ahead.